Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 72. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Thanks again for listening this week. And this week, we've got a lot of great things that I would like to talk with you about. And these projects are projects that I've been discussing over the last few weeks, discussing an upcoming release of a very specific Linux-based distribution, as well as a couple of other things that I have been working on here at home, and bringing them all together in what I think is a very important topic for those of you out there who might have an appreciation for smaller projects, or those of you out there who might be developers that want to help another project out, or those of you out there who are just technology enthusiasts and want to learn more about the topic at hand today. So when I started this podcast, the idea was to discuss a broad range of technology topics and learn as much as I could in the process about it and share that process with all of the listeners out there in hopes that I could inspire some maybe students to try some of these projects on their own, or students to want to be motivated to learn on their own, or just get in touch and connect with some other people out there that have similar interests in what I like to do. And never did I really expect to gain as much interest as I have in these topics, including things like, you know, anywhere, any broad range from anywhere from Windows and Mac and Linux and Chrome OS. And all of a sudden, I started getting into a broader range of technologies. And I got interested in ham radio, amateur radio. And some people out there think that amateur radio is a technology basically from a bygone era, that there's no real need for amateur radio nowadays. I talk with people you know, around my community, and they mention, you know, oh, ham radio is still a thing. You know, why would we still have that when there's cell phones available now? And I started questioning, did I get into something too late? Did I get into and learn about something that really is from a you know, something 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or even in longer ago? But my approach was a little different. And my approach was, I really appreciated how passionate these radio operators get about what they do. If you've ever talked with a ham radio operator, someone who is active, you sort of get the sense of pride that they have when it comes to the things that they build, the experiments that they try. And with any type of community, you're going to have the more experienced veterans and the newbies. You're going to have the guys that are down to earth and want to help out. You're going to have the guys that are egomaniacs and think that they're the only ones that could possibly ever do anything right. And so when I got into ham radio, the reason that I got into it, as I said earlier, is I just wanted to learn about the technology that I knew little about. I wanted to try something new and see if it was something that I was into. And I've made comparisons in the past about amateur radio and the Linux community, and their, how very similar those communities are. In fact, a lot of ham radio services are built on open source technologies, which I think is pretty awesome. So this week, and just last night, I decided that I was going to go to my local amateur radio club meeting for the first time. And I didn't know what to expect going to this meeting. I didn't know if I was going to get the radio snobs that just gather around and talk about what they're doing, or if I was going to get, was it going to be like a lug experience where people are bringing their hardware and trying things out, you know, and helping each other. I didn't know what to expect. In fact, I didn't know if I was going to have an older crowd of a bunch of old guys sitting around a table with long beards or was it going to be a younger crowd, newer enthusiasts about this? So I kind of went in blind, and that's not something that I usually do. In fact, usually I will avoid trying new things in general. But because of a couple of different circumstances, I was actually able to go to one of these meetings. First off, I had been missing. It seems like every time a local meeting came up, I would miss the meeting because I had something else happening at the same time and I couldn't go. Well, the stars aligned last night, and I was finally able to attend one of these meetings. And so I got there about 10 minutes early, and I sort of walked in and I said, I'm the new guy. What do I need to do? Do I need to sign in or anything like that? And they just said, pull up a chair and sit right down. And I was actually really impressed. I wasn't expecting this sort of club or group to be as formal as it was. There was, you know, a president, vice president, secretary, treasurer, etc. And the very first thing they did, they slammed a gavel and everyone stood and we did the Pledge of Allegiance. I wasn't even expecting that. I know almost nothing about ham radio. So I say that I know a little bit about it, but I'm not going to get on the microphone and proclaim I'm some amateur radio expert, because I'm definitely not. So the meeting, quite frankly, blew my mind on a few different things. Now, I mentioned a couple of different things last week about how in the last month, amateur radio has been pretty vital in our country for things like hurricane relief efforts. I mentioned a couple of things locally, such as search for missing hiker. And this local club in particular, we started talking about a missing hiker early in September. It was on the news locally quite a bit, and basically in the mountains where I live, it gets pretty wild. There's not a lot of cell service. There's not a lot of communications that happen, and so we had a missing hiker from outside of our area who came in to hike. Horribly unprepared for what he attempted to want to do. Basically, he was from out of state. And this is just a story that I have been told. He's from out of state. He had been practicing rock climbing in a gym, wanted to get the real rock climbing experience, Googled, rock climbing in this area, drove up to, probably one of the most difficult climbs in our area, probably not knowing what he was getting himself into, and then became missing shortly after that. So basically, the story goes that the forest rangers were flown in by helicopter, and they established a base camp at the top of the mountain with amateur radio station set up. And so they had a forest ranger at the top of the mountain communicating with the search teams all around the mountain, and also forwarding the messages into the local community through ham radio operators. And the ham radio operators donated their time. They spent about 4 or 5 days glued to the radios and forwarding messages to law enforcement, other forest rangers in town. And they were basically asked to come in and support. Now, what I didn't know is that in order to do this, you need some FEMA training, and it's a couple of courses that you need to take to sort of learn how everything works with the forest rangers, so that you're able to basically show up and start helping out right away, and you know the routine, you know what to expect. So that sort of blew my mind on how much the forest rangers really relied on ham radio operators when it came to missing hikers or emergencies in the wilderness. And also along those lines, helping in the local communities with marathons and races over long distances, half marathons, marathons, that type of thing. The radio operators are basically on a volunteer basis, go in and assist in race operations, and then usually are given a donation afterwards to help their organization keep going. Blew my mind on how much just this one local community group was able to do. And this community group assists other community groups across the state. They go from town to town whenever help is needed. And so now when I go and I talk with people about amateur radio, and they might say, is that still a thing? I think we're getting to a point where amateur radio is as important as a backup solution as it has ever been when it comes to things like natural disasters. Puerto Rico, as an example, their whole infrastructure was destroyed. And the very first thing that was brought in was ham radio. The Red Cross brought in ham radio operators. And so freak weather events can take out communications and that type of thing. Yes, we have cell phones, and that's great. But in the area I live, there are dead zones where there is no cell phone service for miles. And, you know, I think it goes to say, with the current state of a lot of things in the world, that having an amateur radio license is certainly something that is very interesting. So I learned a lot by going to this meeting. It lasted about 40 to 45 minutes. And yeah, it was a lot of older guys talking about what they did. And I sort of got a feeling of how they are have a lot of pride in what they do. I didn't say anything at the meeting. I just sort of went and observed. I didn't want to speak up. I didn't want to come across in any negative way, or, you know, I'm very green when it comes to this stuff. I just kind of observed and listened. There was a couple of younger guys there that were probably a little older than I am. But for the most part, it was a round table of a bunch of older guys getting around and talking about things that they've been doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I look at that as experience, and I look at that as you know, guys that have been doing this for years and years and years. And if you want to learn something, you got to go with the people that know what they're doing. So, excited as I was about this, I started thinking, you know, when I try things new, what's sort of my flow on learning or deep diving into something like this? And I know I it's not my intention to make this podcast a ham radio podcast. That's not at all what I want to do. The topic just seems to be coming up more and more as I get into it a little bit more and more. Some people out there might find it boring, and that's okay if you do. I promise that I will not stick with this all the time. However, the idea that you can communicate with anybody in the world, in any country around the world, is a pretty neat topic. And making connections with people all around the world who have the same interest in you, it brings it right back to the Linux community again. We all have interest in open source or Linux, or, you know, just computers and technology in general. Well, basically, this was basically the start of it. Before, you know, computers were even around, radio operators were, you know, building antennas instead of computers, and they were, you know, learning how to bounce signals off the ionosphere, or propagating their radio signals so they can bounce signals off the moon, or anything like that. Whether it's locally, or, you know, within a 300-mile range, or connecting internationally. And so I started wondering, you know, if I really don't know a lot about this stuff. So how would I learn more about this stuff? And then it occurred to me that when I really got into Linux in 2009, what I did was I just immersed myself in Linux podcasts. And going back to, you know, some of the favorite podcasts that I listened to, I would listen to those podcasts and I would really not have a clue what they were talking about. I mean, this is going way back, you know, before I even knew what GNOME and KDE were, and the differences of the, I mean, just hearing the terminology over and over and over and hearing the discussion, you sort of learn through repetition. And so what I did is I subscribed to a bunch of amateur radio podcasts this week. And some people have recommended them in the past. They've sent me messages. One in particular was from the Twit Network called Ham Nation. A couple other podcasts that I just want to give a shout out to is the Everything Ham Radio podcast, as well as Ham Radio 360. I've listened to an episode of all three of these, and one in particular, I believe it was the Ham Radio podcast, or the Ham Radio 360 podcast, just discussed all the digital modes for ham radio, such as All-Star, D-Star, IRLP, and those things. And it was about a two-hour show. They had a roundtable discussion of what was good and great about all the different types of digital radio out there. And that cleared up a whole bunch of things that I didn't understand just by listening to one episode. So I thought that was really great. And it sort of reminded me back when I started getting really interested into Linux and open source stuff. And I keep going back to that because I want to stress how important that is. And a few months ago, what I did is I reviewed a Linux distribution for ham radio operators. And when I stumbled across this, I went back and listened to the two episodes that I sort of did on this particular topic. And some of the things that I mentioned with SkyWave Linux was that it was in rapid development. It was in heavy development. Originally, it was based off the Unity desktop, and I compared it to Ubuntu Studio, having a lot of ham radio operator tools for anyone interested in ham radio operation. But it was also a tool that was supposed to be available to someone who lived in countries where you may have things that are restricted for you, and give you an opportunity to work around those restrictions. To enable some very general human rights to those who may not have access to those. I thought that was a cool topic back when I first discovered SkyWave Linux. And so last week, I was in the middle of playing a concert, and I got a message from Phil, the SkyWave Linux developer. And I was super excited to talk about SkyWave Linux. Back when I first did the show on it a few months ago, I had an old test laptop that I had some issues with. And I was quite out front saying that it wasn't just SkyWave that I had issues with. It was a lot of different Linux distributions. When I tried it on this test laptop, I would have issues with wireless and this and that and a few other things here and there. And I actually ended up getting rid of that test laptop. So I don't really have a test machine at the moment. So what I did is I downloaded SkyWave Linux, and I was able to boot it up on a couple of different machines. And the first most obvious difference in version 3 that just came out is switching to the Mate desktop. That is, I'm sure, because of various different things. Is based off Ubuntu. Ubuntu is ditching the Unity desktop. So I'm sure Phil had to, at one point in time, decide where to go next. And I think the Mate desktop was the perfect choice. I don't think there was any other choice that he should have gone with. The Mate desktop in the live environment is blazingly fast. And one thing that I was able to do was try it on some older hardware and some relatively newer hardware. And a friend of mine actually had an HP TouchSmart PC from 2008 that was broken, wasn't really working well. And I just said, hey, can I just try something really quickly? Can I try booting this Linux operating system on it? And I just want to see how it does. So it's going back to 2008's Core 2 Duo, and it had about 4 gigs of RAM. And I put the flash drive in, and with this TouchSmart, it had a touchscreen interface, very basic touchscreen. And SkyWave booted right up, and it was super fast. And the first thing that I noticed was how much Mate freed up on the resources of systems. I also installed it on, not didn't install it, I also tried it on an HP desktop as well. And no, I didn't have any problems with sound or Wi-Fi card recognition. Everything was right off the bat detected. The only thing that I wasn't able to do is actually install it on the hardware itself. The next thing that I tried to do is I tried to install it on VirtualBox on my Mac. And I could not get it to boot correctly in VirtualBox on the Mac. And I've had issues with that in the past with other Linux distros, and I'm not really sure what's going on when it comes to that. My next step, I haven't had a whole lot of time to do this. My next step is to set it up in VirtualBox on my System 76 laptop, and I'm sure I'll have no problems there. So one of the things that I wanted to do with sort of my workbench that I'm sort of have been working on over the last few weeks is now that I've got Nextcloud set up the way that and it's working fantastic, one of the things that I want to do is sort of have a very small ham radio setup. And whether I'm going to run this in a virtual machine or actually find some maybe used hardware, what I want to do is have a dedicated SkyWave Linux machine. This project is something that I am super, super passionate about. And it may be because I've recently gotten interested in ham radio. It may be because I'm looking for things to promote. But there's a lot of projects that I've talked about, and SkyWave Linux is by far one of the coolest projects that I have come across. One of the things that I realized since version 3 came out, I made a few suggestions. One of the suggestions that I mentioned was that they should include something like Qtel, an Echolink alternative for Linux. And I noticed in this case, in this new version, they've added Qtel. And I'm sure that was just because of my recommendation. I say that sarcastically because I'm sure there are other people out there who have also given the suggestions. But that shows to me that Phil and anybody else who's maybe working on this project really listen to the people in their community community that they are building, and they are adding the software and other resources based off of feedback. And so they have a general idea of where they want to go with this, but they're also listening to their community. I think that's really awesome. The next thing, as long as we're on the same topic with Echolink being added, the look, the feel, the polish of SkyWave Linux, it looks drastically better. In my mind, it going from version 2 to version 3 is literally night and day. Version 3 is absolutely beautiful. The theming couldn't be better with the Mate desktop. And on top of that, the applications look great. They run great. They feel great. All the software-defined radio apps have shown improvement, as well as any other tool. If you're going to be using software-defined radio on this Linux distribution, I plugged in my USB dongle that I can connect a small antenna to, was able to really quickly get up and running. No issues with sound whatsoever. I had issues before with it. And my thoughts are it's a vast improvement as far as what works and what doesn't. I've noticed that a lot of little bugs here and there have been fixed. And he's even got multiple desktops set up so you can work more efficiently. You know, you don't have, it's already configured for you. You don't have to worry about, you don't have to take the time to set that up. It's very simple to do. But anybody just coming over from something like Windows might get a kick out of that if they haven't used the latest Windows 10, if they're not using Windows 10 and, with the multiple desktop feature. gives you a little bit more room, a little more flexibility for all the things that you're probably going to be trying, whether it's using the radio software or monitoring airplane traffic or just browsing online or doing other work. One thing that Phil was trying to do is he was trying to find more things to do with the software-defined radio apps. So he was looking for things like multi-channel monitoring of voice and basically added some new features like logging and streaming. The one thing that I couldn't find, and I should have mentioned it in the last couple episodes when I reviewed it the first time, and it may be installed, maybe I just didn't find it. And if that's the case, it's totally on me. I didn't see any way to log QSOs for the ham radio operator. So QSO is whenever you make a contact with someone on ham radio, you can log the call sign. And that way you can keep track of who you've talked to and where you've talked to those people from. I know there's logging software for call sign logging software for Linux. I looked up a couple of them. I don't recall their names off the top of my head right now. That might be something to add in the future if it's not there now. I could not find any logging for call signs and that type of thing. Just a recommendation on my part for that. That's really one of the only very few recommendations that I have. All around, though, SkyWave Linux version 3, if you have not looked at it yet, I would highly recommend giving this a shot. If you couldn't get version 2 working on your hardware, give version 3 a try. It has drastically improved just in this last few months, and to the point where I'm even more excited about it now. So I'm going to keep following this project. I'm going to keep experimenting with this. And as I mentioned, one of the things I'm looking to do is build sort of a very small sort of ham shack on my desk. I don't have a lot of funding where I can put a lot into getting a base station and building antennas on my house and that type of thing. I don't really want to go that far, but getting something like a test machine, used in from, Facebook Marketplace or Craigslist or eBay or something like that, just finding a used machine where I can install SkyWave and give me access to some SDR services, I think is a good start. I've got my handheld Yaesu that's on my desk, and just having a small box and maybe even Raspberry Pi. I know a lot of people out there in amateur radio are using Raspberry Pis now. One of the things that was brought up in the meeting I went to last night. But I think SkyWave has a spot on my desk in the very near future, if I can get some used hardware to get that up and running. So if you've tried SkyWave version 3, let me know. Let me know what you think about it, and I'll put your review on the show. Or if you have any other comments for anything else that we've discussed here today or on any other show, I'd be glad to listen to you as far as that is concerned, and I'd love to have a conversation with you about anything, because the more I hear feedback, the more I learn as well. So if you got questions about it, I'd be glad to give it a shot and give you my best answer. The other thing that you can do, if you really enjoy this show, the first thing I'm going to say, go to podnuts.com, podnutz.com, and show that network some love, because they do a great job over there, and they let me be a part of their podcast network. You can support their Patreon page. They're on Patreon. You can support them. If you'd like to support me specifically, which I make zilch from this show. So if you'd like to support me in my endeavors, you can go to mrptechreviews.com. You can hit the donate button on that website. I do have a Patreon page as well. I haven't updated it in a while. I wasn't expecting very many people to even look for it. But I do have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/mrptech. You can take a look at it there. Even just supporting Podnuts, it would be a great help to all of us who have a show on the Podnuts network. They do all the hosting. They pay for all the services. They are constantly supporting me for what I would like to do. They've helped me out in the past when it came to Skywave Radio. They have helped me do contests for my listeners. They do a great job of keeping a real family-friendly show for anybody to listen to. It's so much fun to be a part of that network. So go to podnuts.com, check out all the other great shows. And if you want to support me directly, the best way to do that, even if you don't want to do the Patreon thing, just go to mrptechreviews.com and hit the donate button. And that will help me continue to, maybe make small purchases that I won't need out of pocket to keep reviewing things and that stuff. And that helps me keep going. Cause as I said, I don't really have a whole lot of funding to, you know, go out and buy new technologies all the time. If you'd like to do that, I would greatly appreciate it. And thanks so much, everybody. The best thing you can do is go tell other people about this show. And if you have things you're interested in, or if you know somebody's interested in these topics, get the link from Podnuts and just share the link of the show with all those people and encourage them to listen to this show as well. And as always, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.